from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "No, not seven times, but I'll tell you, 77 times, or seven times 70, with other translations. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord offered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions and payments to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him saying, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Everywhere I turned this week, it seemed like everything I done, whether it be conversations I have with friends or family members, whether it be things that happened at work, articles that I read, and even a random conversation with a total stranger, it seemed like everything had to deal with conflict, lack of forgiveness, grudges, things that were just festering in people's heart that have never been dealt with. And I think when you look across our world right now, I think you can see a lot of that as well with some of the world conflict that we have. Things that have been there since forever that have never been dealt with, and we get to the point that we have to deal with it. This morning I watched the British Prime Minister's address about the beheading yesterday, and said, "We are a peaceful people, but we have got to the point that we have to deal with this. It cannot go unresolved." So when we watch these news broadcasts, talking to friends, a lot of times we see that unresolved conflict, that anger, those grudges that are present in people's hearts. So I dealt with that a lot this week, and then whenever I opened up the lectionary to start preparing my lesson, or the message today, what scripture was presented for me to preach on? But Matthew 18. Matthew 18, which is our instruction on how to deal with conflict. So what I would ask that you do this week is that read Matthew 18 in its entirety. The first part of it, and the middle part, and the last part, read the whole thing. I mean, we're in verses 21 through 35 today, but read this week Matthew 18 in its entirety. So whenever I opened up the lectionary and I saw that particular passage, I said, there's a reason that I've been feeling this way. There's a reason that I've been having these questions. It's because I think at times we need to be reminded that we have to deal with conflict, that we can't hold grudges, that we have to forgive, and that these buried skeletons that we have in our past, that instead of covering them up, we've got to deal with them. Because if not, they become something so much worse than what they were ever meant to be. So this morning we talk about grudges and buried skeletons. What is it that we do with them? How is it that we deal with them? Matthew, the first part of Matthew 18, basically gives us instructions on how to deal with conflict head on. And I wish everybody would follow with me. I think life would be so much easier if everybody would follow those three simple steps on dealing with conflict. And I think the subheading of that chapter is believers who sin. And to me it says accountability. If somebody does something wrong to you, go to that person and tell them. Go to that person and tell them, hey, that bothered me. You shouldn't have done that, or maybe I misunderstood you, because a lot of times that's the case. I'm the world's worst. I'll say one thing, somebody takes it totally different, and I had no intentions of communicating a negative message. So you go to a person and you say, I've got a concern with this, let's talk about this. Then if they don't listen, you take somebody back with you. Somebody from the church, that's the way the scripture talks about. You take somebody back with you, have another conversation. And if that don't work, present them before the church, tell the church about it. And then at that point, you can feel comfortable that you have done what you should have done to try to resolve the issue with those three steps. You can be confident in knowing that you've done what was in your power. But, here's the caveat, but we can't continue to dwell on it. We have to forgive. So if somebody has done us wrong, if somebody's hurt us, we have a concern about something, and they don't respond to us, well, we can't stop there. We have to forgive. Because if we fail to forgive, then what's going to happen is we're going to continue to dwell in the conflict that we've experienced. We're going to continue to dwell in that conflict that is experienced, and it's going to grow. And if we're not careful, then our hearts will become hardened. And that brings us to the scripture today. When we think about what we heard the message to the children about forgiveness, and the scripture talks about how many times we should forgive. And Peter, as he went to Jesus, said, you know, how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? And if I were to ask all of you that same question that morning, we'd probably come up with different answers if we hadn't read the scripture. But Peter said, seven times? I mean, seven's a pretty good number. That's a lot. But then Jesus said, no, 70 times 7 or 77 with the NRSV, that's a lot. And I don't think there was a number that was meant to be quantified there to where we were supposed to say, we're going to keep count, and once we get up to 490 times, then I don't have to forgive you anymore. Because I don't know about you, but I can't keep count of that much. And I think that was the intent that Jesus had as well, is that you don't keep count of the forgiveness that you extend. You don't keep count of the forgiveness that you extend. And we don't do it because if you think about what Jesus has already done for us, the forgiveness that has been extended from our Heavenly Father through the life and death of Jesus Christ, then is it really asking us too much to forgive other people? When we enter conversations with other people or go different places, and even here in this own church, in our own families, in our own workplaces, it does not take long to realize that there are so many places of hurt and conflict around us. In churches especially. That's one of the things that we have some conversations about as pastors, is when we go into a church, rest assured there are always some buried skeletons, the unspeakable, the things that people don't talk about anymore that happened way back when, and sometimes it takes a while to figure them out. Every family has that as well. Every family has that thing that you don't talk about, that where somebody was hurt and is there. Every group of people, every community, every workplace, we all have it. None of us are immune from it. But the question is, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Because if we've not dealt with them through true forgiveness, then those things tend to fester. It's like getting a cut on your hand or a sore. If you don't do something about it, it's going to fester, it's going to get inflamed, it's going to get worse. Those grudges, those conflicts, those buried skeletons in our lives and the lives of the groups that we belong to, well, they may eventually stand as a barrier for us to model the love of Christ in our lives and to model that love out into our community. Because when it gets to the point that it hurts that bad, we either don't talk to people or we disassociate with people, and people can tell when something's wrong. And the reason that I share these instructions with you today is because as Christians, who are your friends going to come talk to? Your friend is going to come up and say, well, you know, I know you go to church and you do all of that, and I've got this friend that has really done me wrong. What do you think I should do? Get even? No, we don't get even. Christians don't get even. Well, we do. We get even when we receive forgiveness of our sins and we receive the salvation that our God has in store for us. But no, we don't get even. We forgive. And when we say that word, man, that's really hard. How hard is it to forgive somebody who hurts us? When you think about the great command to love God and love our neighbor with all of our soul, to love God with all of our soul and love our neighbor, that gets to be pretty hard. It's easy to say that. What does loving our neighbor mean? It means that we also forgive them from the places that they've hurt us. It means that we forgive them for the places they hurt us. Because we know that life is not easy. And I think those around us that we may encounter in our workplace and our families and in the paths that we travel in our community groups and all that, they know that we're supposed to be different. That we're supposed to understand a little bit more, so they may come and they may ask that question to us. Or perhaps they have watched how we've dealt with it in the past. And since we're one of those church people, then we have affirmed, if our behavior was not appropriate, then we've affirmed that behavior as a good behavior for them to copy. But that's not what's meant to be. We're meant to love God, to love our neighbor. It's easy to love people who love us. It's easy to forgive people who love us and to forgive simple misunderstandings. But it becomes challenging when there are people who hate us. It becomes challenging when there are people who have created hurt for us. And that's where we all seek to grow in our spiritual maturity as Christians. But Peter came to Jesus and said, how many times do I have to do this? And of course, Jesus used a story or a parable. And Jesus said, well, you've got this slave master, or this slave lord, and a slave came to him, owed him a lot of debt, a lot of talents, couldn't pay. He said, I beg for your mercy. The master gave him mercy. And at that point in time, he would seem like he would be appreciative, and he was. But he walked right out the door and met one of his fellow slaves who owed him money. And he's thinking, well, I've got to collect money so I can pay this guy back and everything be good. And he holds the other guy accountable and says, you're going to prison if you can't pay me back. Well, did he deal with him in the same way that his master dealt with him initially? And the answer is no. And when we think about our own lives, what has Jesus Christ already done for you? If you think about what Jesus has already done for you, has our debt not already been paid? Have we not already received forgiveness of our sins and promised of an everlasting life if we profess Christ as our Savior? But after all, Jesus carried his own cross up a hill, was tortured, died a sinner's death on a cross so that we can live today. Debt-free in terms of life. And we are forgiving people, a forgiven people. So how is it then, and what gives us the right not to forgive other people? If we were forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, what gives us the right not to forgive other people? Just like the story that Jesus told to Peter. The master came back to him and said, I can't believe this. I just forgave you of all this debt, and you can't treat one that you work with in the same way that I treated you? You can't deal with him with the same grace and the same mercy that I dealt with you? And then in the end it said, so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother and sister from your heart. In other words, that mercy that's been extended to us, we're going to feel the wrath of not having that mercy if we don't forgive our brother and our sister. Because brothers and sisters, our debt has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been dealt with in a merciful and a graceful manner. But we still find it hard at times to forgive other people. But the message for us today is that we are to model the love of Christ into all the dark places in this world. We're to model the love of Christ in the lives that we live each day. We are to forgive those who have done wrongs against us. Now, understand when we're reading the Great Commandment and when we get into conflict resolution with Matthew 18 and forgiveness with Matthew 18, it says, love God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor. It don't say that I have to hang out with them and be best buddies with them. It says that I have to love them as a child of God. So, if somebody has really done you wrong, I'm not saying that we have to be best friends with them. But we have to love them as a child of God, and we have to forgive. And the key here, in that last scripture I read, we have to forgive from the heart. We have to forgive from the heart. Because if you think about forgiveness for a minute, how easy is it to say, I forgive you? Everybody, let's say that together. I forgive you. That'd come out real easy, right? Now, think about your children. How many times do they say, I'm sorry? And then we say, well, I forgive you. And then you're sitting there saying, if they don't quit doing that, I'm going to tan their hide. Because I don't believe not for one minute that they're sorry. Because they're going to do it tomorrow. The thing is, we have to reach down into our hearts and we have to forgive from the heart. We have to love from the heart. Our hearts get hurt when somebody does us wrong. So therefore, we have to forgive from the heart. In other words, we have to fully forgive. And if we don't do that, then we run the danger of our hearts being hardened. Now, there was a quote in the lectionary this week that I read that really spoke to me about the impact of what conflict in the church can do to a community. If a community of believers, and not just conflict in the church, but Christians, the body of Christ, that don't understand the concept of forgiveness. If a community of believers shuts its eyes or holds grudges, the witness of the entire church, in other words, the body of Christ, is affected. If a community of believers shuts its eyes or holds grudges, the witness of the entire church is affected. So if we think about that just for a minute, what that speaks of is that what we do, the way in which we respond, is a direct reflection of our membership in the body of Christ. It's a direct reflection of who we are as Christians. So what we must understand is that the church is not here just for us. The church is here for everyone. And we're to be that reflection in the community. And the grace and the mercy that we experience at God's hands must be reflected into the community. Because our God has already dealt with us in a graceful, gracious, and merciful way. Therefore, we should deal with other people in the same manner. We do not want to be as the slave who was forgiven and failed to forgive. We want to be those who choose to live fully as a forgiven child of God. We are all different. We know that. We all make mistakes. There's not a single person in this world that's perfect. We've all sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory. It happens. We know that. We step on people's toes. And sometimes we don't realize the consequences of our actions and our words. We are human beings. So as I speak to you this morning, I speak to you as a representative of Christ's mercy into this world, of God's mercy into this world. We must live as a forgiven people. We must live as those who have received what God has in store for us. We must live as those not only forgiven, but those who have a hope of an eternal future. And as we live in that manner, and we think of the debt that has already been paid through the blood of Christ, then how is it should we respond when we're simply asked to forgive our brothers and sisters? Because despite who we are, our God loves us unconditionally. He sent His Son for each one of us who sit here today. And we as a body, as we seek to be more intentional in our faith, we must seek to trust more fully in God's power so that we may be delivered from that oppressive hardening of our hearts that comes as a result of grudges, of conflict, and those other buried skeletons. Our choice today is this, brothers and sisters. We can hold on to the pain and the anger in our heart that we may have got comfortable with in whatever situation we've experienced in our life, or we can live in God's mercy. We can live in pain, we can live in conflict, or we can live in God's grace and mercy. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. But our God loved us so much that He gave Jesus that we could live today as a forgiven people. So is it really asking too much that we forgive our brothers and sisters? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.